You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show as I come to you at Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama. And just to give you a little background, my grandfather preached at Hueytown Church of Christ. I attended Pittman Middle School, Hueytown High School, loved Bob Sykes. We would make our way over here to Bessemer just across the bridge and enjoyed Bob Sykes Barbecue for years. Later on, I established Tortillas Blanco, which was my tortilla factory and restaurant, and I was part of Buy Alabama's Best. This was a program through the Alabama Department of Agriculture. We enjoyed being a part of it. Ron Sparks was over it back then when we had the Buy Alabama's Best. And I was on a poster. And within that poster, there were some amazing companies across the state of Alabama, great entrepreneurs. And I was just honored to be a part of that poster. And included on that poster was Bob Sykes Barbecue Sauce. Right now, as I mentioned, I'm at Bob Sykes in Bessemer, Alabama, and I have with me a second generation of the Sykes family, Van Sykes. His mom and dad, Bob and Maxine Sykes, started this business, and right now I have the honor and privilege of being able to sit across from Van. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Van Sykes.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate you coming by and saying all those nice things. It's really my favorite thing to hear is that Bob Sykes is generational. And that that means a lot in the restaurant business to know that generations have eaten here and then they bring their kids here, and that's a very satisfying thing to hear. I really appreciate that. And the Alabama poster, 100 Things to Eat Before You Die, I was particularly proud in a barbecue state to be recognized as sort of the barbecue, along with there were some others on there, but it's like, you know, you're in the land of barbecue and somebody's pushed you to the top. That's very humbling stuff, considering where it all came from. That barbecue sauce was my daddy's. He worked for a bread company. They wanted to do something and go in their own business. He loved to barbecue. He barbecued as a child on a farm in western Tennessee. And he was taught by a black man named Buck Hampton. My daddy was smart enough to realize black entrepreneurship, black ingenuity, and appreciated it, loved it. Mr. Hampton would actually take my daddy with him some, and They barbecued for church, picnics, socials, political events. The barbecue of the 1920s was really not commercial. You know, it was kind of for hire for a group or a, something, but particularly political events. So then people had to have an identity, because if I'm cooking pork shoulders and you're cooking shoulders and hickory, we're going to pretty much end up the same. And it really wasn't, if you're a barbecue purist, it's not in a bunch of concocted things that we would call a rub. That really wasn't it. They needed barbecue sauce. And so my daddy had a great palate. He could taste something and pretty much just go down the ingredient list. It was quite amazing how he could do that. But he started, like a lot of them, with what was called mother sauce, which was vinegar, acidic things like lemon juice. There was salt. People started putting peppers in it. And it was made to sort of baste, or the appropriate barbecue word would be mop. They were mopped or lathered with this as it cooked. Well, you know, then the identity kind of got the same again. And then the Carolinas, you know, it's so funny, the barbecue, the East and West, it's like there's a line down the middle, and they're just right. Totally different. But one thing, one side decided that there was a German invasion of barbecue sauce, because a lot of barbecue people were taking their mother sauce and they were adding this disgusting thing called ketchup from a man named Heinz. And so they're thinking, this must be a German conspiracy for barbecue. And even though my daddy didn't use ketchup, but he used tomato base. And so I think in the South, that's why you see red sauces that are tomato based. I think a lot of them are too sweet. My daddy said, I'll eat my dessert after my barbecue. So his sauce hit right in the middle of, first of all, he had an appreciation for the work. And so why would you cover your work up with something that would overpower the flavors that you're getting out of the fire, the ash, the smoke, the wood, all of those God-given things? Barbecue is a God-given thing when you think about how you cook it. A pit was a pit in the ground. Yes. You know, the wood was God gave us the wood, the fire, the pig, everything we need to cook. And all that had to happen was for barbecue to progress and become more commercial was people had to have sauces to have an identity of, hey, that's so-and-so's and this is so-and-so's. So after many times of making 10 quarts or so in a pot, 8 or 10 quarts, he would taste it and just wash it down the sink. My mom would say, well, what are you doing that for? He'd say, well, if I start adding to it, I'm not going to know where the magic is. I have to start every time from the beginning and come back. And like, he wanted to take his table mustard and break it with vinegar to blend the mustard seeds out. You know, he wanted to take like brown sugar in a recipe and put it with hot water and liquefy it. So he was all about blending all those things. It wasn't just throw it in a pot and cook it. He really was considering what's going to bring out that hickory flavor. And it finally took a while. I'd say our sauce is more on the acidic side, and perhaps that's why dill pickle chip goes good with it, in my opinion. But all of that was, it was something he worked very hard to blend together. And in the end, I think he really got it right. Because like most good barbecue sauces or barbecue places, they have a really good hamburger because they put their sauce on it. And that's the way this is. So that is quite an honor to know that from the backyard, it made it all the way to the poster and everything like that. So it's a good story.
One of the things that you shared with me, Van, was the partnership between your mom and your dad. When you're talking about Maxine and Bob and them looking for something to do together.
Right.
And seeking out a combo team that somebody would say, we like that idea, join us.
Yeah. And they offered their services, like, to Britling Cafeteria. And they actually, we ran something called Frost Top Root Beer. And there was a man that owned that. He owned the franchises. He had about three or four of them here. Now, he bought into that, and he let Mom and Dad work as a partner at Five Points West. But then they had to bring in a partner for capital, and the partner decided that he was going to boss my mother, and that was a mistake. So my mama told Daddy, you got two choices. You can buy him out, or he can buy you out. But he's driving a wedge between us. This is not how this is supposed to work. Daddy somehow gets the guy to buy his half of the root beer business. And he went right down the road and built what you see today as Bob Sykes. He took a ice cream stand that was called the Igloo. And it had sat on that corner for about 25 years. And Five Points West, there by the fairground. And we went in there one day, and the guy told my daddy he was going to retire. And daddy thought, I got to have this building. And he said, well, Farm Bureau owns Five Points West, and they hold the lease. So mother and daddy went as a team, and they talked to the leasing agent. And he said, well, you know, I really want to put a shoe store there. I don't think we need another restaurant. And my mother said, now, wait a minute. We're not talking about it, just a regular restaurant. See, my daddy had realized where the food business was going. And he realized it through a little, as he said, there's a funny little guy on the sign with a bow tie, and it's called Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, he realized what the colonel's saying is, if you don't want chicken, just go somewhere else, because that's what I do. He said, we can do that with barbecue. And that planted that seed. So that's what they approached the leasing agent with. We're specializing in carry out. And you know what? We're going to have something nobody else has. Bob has designed a drive-up window where they could drive up to the window in their car, not get out of the car and pick the food up. And the guy, previous to that, most windows, you got out of the car and you walked over to it. Daddy put a rebuilt World War II battleship radio. It had a talk and listen button, promise you. And, you know, they'd get out of the car and he'd say, no, I need you to get back in your car and drive up. And they were like, well, I guess I could do that, couldn't I? And before long, their idea worked. But in the beginning, the agent said, well, here's the problem. We're going to break the blue law in Birmingham, and we've enlisted some retailers. The blue law was that you couldn't open on Sunday. That's, you attended church. It was the Sabbath. Well, their intention at Five Points West was to get open on Sundays. And he said, I'll tell you what, I give you a 5-year lease with a 5-year option, but you have to open on Sundays. And my mama said, you know, there's something that Bob and I have been holding back on you. We need to be honest with you. And he said, well, please, by all means. And she said, well, we have a partner in our business. We've had him from the beginning. And I can tell you he will be opposed to this Sunday thing. He said, well, who is your partner? She said, Jesus Christ is our partner. And we're not going to open on Sunday because he's not going to go along with that. And the man said, well, Miss Sykes, what if I told you that Jesus Christ is my partner too? My mama took that paper and she scratched through open Sundays and she said, well, it sounds like all three of us are in agreement then, doesn't it? And he said, well, I guess you got me. And that's how they got in that building. And they didn't stay there 3 years, Mark, and Roy Rogers Roast Beef bought their lease out. And Daddy said, I'm not going anywhere. It's taking me a long time to get here. This is good. Great spot. Well, they wanted it. A lot like the way Walgreens, when they want a piece of property, they'll pay for it, okay? Well, that's the way they were. Roy Rogers roast beef. So the requirement was they move 14 miles from that location. And right over that bridge coming into Bessemer is about 15 miles. So that's how we ended up from there to here. And there was one little place he had in between there that was just, how in the world he talked my mother into letting him have a barbecue place in the back of a beer joint pool hall, I will never know. But it didn't last long. And they got this opportunity to come down here to Bessemer. And when he was cooking barbecue, curing the pit, people were climbing over the paving equipment to get into the door. And he said, I think we found our location. And Bessemer has been, it's perfect. It could have never thrown a dart at a map and hit a better spot than where we're sitting right now.
Right now, folks, we're talking to Van Sykes. We're at Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama. I'm enjoying this conversation, the history of Bob Sykes. Amazing. If you're listening to what Van is telling you and how this business started, I hope that you're encouraged and inspired, because you can still today have opportunities and have doors open and be firm with your convictions, as Van was sharing about his mom, Maxine. He shared about his dad and his ability to be able to taste different flavors in foods and be able to know what that's about. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about a book that Van has come out with about the 65 years of Bob Sykes Barbecue, in addition to the Bob Sykes Barbecue and Blues Festival coming up on April the 30th. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, and Van Sykes is going to continue to be with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show from Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
Drives into the city. Extra hard all day. Finishes up early so he can get away.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I am coming to you on location at Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama. I have across from me Mr. Van Sykes. He's second generation Bob Sykes owner here. He is a pit master. Great at what he does when it comes to the barbecue. And I wanted Van to be able to share today about the history of Bob Sykes, about the barbecue, and let you in on some of the story. And then there's a book that's been written, and that will clue you in on the entire story And then we're going to talk about the festival that's coming up on April the 30th. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Van Sykes.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I appreciate you having me. I really do. I think to further your point is the book needed to be written and the story needed to be told for the next generation that's coming, or maybe the generation behind that. Entrepreneurship, free market capitalism is what America's all about. That's I wouldn't want to live anywhere else because I wouldn't be able to do what I want to do. But, I mean, basically all the government can do to help a business is get out of the way. That's what I want people to understand, the younger people, is you can find a niche somewhere. I don't care if it's carpet cleaning, tire changing. So there's something you can do for yourself. When I talk to these young people at school, I say, you know what? It's 11:30 and I'm not at work. Now, how is that possible? Because I own a business that I've cultivated and I've worked, and I can be here today and speak to you, but my business is running and still making money. Well, guess what? Anybody sitting out here today can do the same thing. The template and the model has never, ever changed. It's a good idea, a great idea, but it's what you take and do with it after that, and it's a rough road. It was a rough road in 1957. Today, it is a mortar-filled minefield to try to work your way and make a business succeed. But you can still do it because the basic things that they had are still out there for everybody. Their ace in the hole, and you'll learn this in the book, just one quick story from the book. They had their first little place they leased for a year. They traded their home equity. We ate out of the place. And we started renting the house that they were previously buying. Well, they were such hustlers and go-getters that by the end of the first year, they had put the guy up the street out of business. And the picture of that is over that building is over our pit here. That was picture was made in the early 60s, but my daddy drove up there and saw a for rent sign, so he went to the gas station next door and said, y'all know who owns this property? They said, oh, yeah, he owns this property too, but it's leased out to Standard Oil. His name is Mr. E.A. Mobies, and he lives in Lakeland, Florida. With no more information than that, no car, because he traded it off for money. He walked to work every day. Back then, it was not uncommon to borrow a car. He borrows a car from my cousin, drives to Lakeland, Florida, gets there before daylight, waits for the route men to come to work, and starts asking, does anybody know Mr. E.A. Mobies? Anybody know Mobies? And this mail carrier said, yeah, he's on my route. Would you like to follow me out there? Daddy said, well, yeah, sure. So goes out there. He said, that's Mobies' house. Daddy knocked on the door. Mr. Mobies come to the door. Daddy said, hey, I'm Bob Sykes. I'm Birmingham, Alabama, and you got a building in Central Park. I'd like to rent that building. He said, well, I need to rent it. Why don't you come inside? He said, you drove from Birmingham. Daddy said, yeah, I borrowed a car, came down here, and I just wanted to find you and talk to you. And he said, well, Bob, I think that's great. He said, we need to see if we can work a deal. My daddy said, well, listen, I got one problem I really got to overcome. He said, what's that? My daddy said, well, I don't have no money. He said, you don't have a car? You don't know where you're going? And when you got there, you don't have any money? He said, yeah, that's about the size of it. He said, well, I tell you what, Bob, you go back and open that place up. And when you feel like you can start paying me some rent, you just start paying me some rent. That was the shot. They knew it was the shot. Those shots are still out there for people. There are people that want to groom entrepreneurship. Mr. Mobies was a good bit older than my father. Several years later, 10 years or so later, we had left that building that we had leased, and they were still fast friends. He was on his deathbed. He called and said, Bob, I need you to come down here and see me. I'd like to see you another time before my time. Daddy goes, this time maybe in his own car, goes to Lakeland, Florida, goes in the hospital room. There's Mr. Mobies, and he said, Bob, come over here for a minute. He said, let me ask you something. You got a dollar on you? And Daddy said, well, yeah, I think I do. He said, well, give it to me. Daddy pulls a dollar out and give it to him. Mr. Mobies handed him the deed to that property. That's powerful stuff. But there are young men that, and women out there, you read this book and you're going to find your Mr. Mobies. You're going to find somebody, and when you get it, you have to realize this is it. This is my chance. With no money, but just the ability to work hard and blessed by God to have a body to be able to work hard and every day learn. Mama listened to customers. She listened close. She said, well, it wasn't long, Van, before they were pretty much telling us what they wanted. We just had to cook it and get it to them. So they were so customer focused. It was all about the customer. And they had a great appetite for the restaurant business, but that particular one there in Central Park was really had turned into American Graffiti. I was the curb hop, I can assure you. I walked so many root beers, Cokes, hamburgers, you know, the old deal where you pull in, you read the menu that's on two creosote poles next to the building, hand painted by a sign painter. You turn your headlights on and off. That tells me you're ready to order. I go take your order and come back with, you roll your window down and hook the little tray on the window. And yeah, that's how it all started. But they realized we're feeding the teenagers. The adults are up here eating at Carnaggio's. And, you know, Daddy's like, we ain't making no money. I don't see any way to ever, well, Mama, actually, Daddy would have cooked it and give it away. That's where the complimenting skills, by the grace of God, came in. He could cook it and produce it, and she could run the business. It was complimenting skills. Unfortunately, my daddy had a stroke in 1970, but he had 12 franchises and two of his own stores, and it was too much. Mama and I used to say he had 13 too many, and we wanted to come back to just one. And so we made a vow that when we came here, we would do one thing, we would do it really well, and then we would go home and rest on Sundays and come back and start again on Mondays. But that book goes through 65 years of history. I will tell you a little sneaker story here real quick. Jimmy Coikas and Nikki, the owners of the Bright Star, we leased the first building in Bessemer from 66 to 76. Well, the man that held that lease did not want my mama to get property. And he knew a lot of people in town. But he basically said, look, I'm making a lot of money off collecting rent because Sykes is running over up there. Mama had nowhere to go. The lease was running out. He was pressuring us to release it. And Jimmy Coikas came forth and said, I have a house about a half a block down from y'all, and I want to remodel the store. I'll sell you that house, and that'll pay for my remodeling. So if he hadn't offered up this piece of property, I don't know where we would be. And the most important thing was 18th and 19th were turning into one-way streets, and Daddy always had a motto, pass the light and on the right. That's where your location needs to be. And we were just past the light and we were on the right. He called it the going home side of the road. It was a perfect location. When my mama opened this place, she brought her preachers. And right here behind me in this corner, we've set the first block and dedicated it to the glory of God. There's your second thing find your Mr. Mobies and find the Lord and edify and glorify. And in this particular business, Mark, this quickly is not about food. This is a people business on both sides of that counter. Food is a wonderful mechanism and vehicle to talk to people and find out things about people. And the stories I hear on a daily basis, you just would not believe it. You know, the people, it's all about the people. You have to be in this long enough to get your product, get it established, get people wanting it, and then switch to becoming a people manager instead of a food cook manager. And they did the hard work. They did the grunt work. They did everything I did and then mopped the floor at night. I mean, it was discouraging. My mama almost wanted to quit one time, and Daddy went to the back and opened the safe and brought something up there and said, "Look at that. That's a banknote. We got to pay it. Failure's not an option." He said, "I'll tell you what, while you finish mopping, I'll put your favorite song on the jukebox." That's what it took. And then I was able, see, to come along, and it was somewhat established with a name and whatever. And I quickly realized, oh, this is about people on both. This is about relationships, vendor relationships. I wanted my route man. I wanted to be their favorite stop, because I knew if I needed something on that truck and they know they could come in here and it'd be a quick delivery and in and out, I would get my deliveries. And I poured them coffee and giant glasses of sweet tea. And I quickly learned that it's the relationships on both sides of the counter. Now, that's how you have employees that stay with you 50 years. That's why this book to me is relevant in this day and time. Not many business owners get to transition through employees that have been here 50 years and then they retire and leave. And it's like for the first 2 weeks I'm coming in going, "She did that too? It's going to take four people to replace these people." And I did it. I got over that hump. I was able to continue the product and everything the customers wanted, and have to shift now to another whole set of employees that I've had to build my relationships with.
The people that I was able to interact with through my business, Van, are the reason that I was able to reinvent myself after my loss of my business, Tortillas right. Blanco, and to do this. And while people don't look at this as the same, this is a business. This is the Mark White Show. It is a form of what I was doing before, except I am helping people and I am making those connections. And most people these days, they like to use the word networking, but it's a love of people. It's relationships. It's those connections that you make. That is what gets you down the road. Whatever your struggle is, whatever you're going through, that is the most important, is your circle of people that you've connected with
right.
to allow you to keep moving forward in life.
I have found this really true, and I wish, you know, I've heard this a lot, but people don't remember what you say, but they remember the way you made them feel. And I always try, when people are leaving here, to give them a thank you, or that's why the drink machine's out here. Top your drink off. I want to say something. I want, when you go out that door, to have transfer that feeling of you know, come back, can't wait to see you again. And, man, the stories I hear. I had a lady yesterday that is from Germany and apparently married somebody at Mercedes. She's here now, and she loves Bob Sykes, and she wanted to have her picture made with me. And I just, you know, I said, "Well, you know, this is a first. I have a German Auburn fan that I'm making my picture with." So I guess even after 65 years, there's still a first time for this, that, and the other, which is really what makes it fun. But the name of the book is From the Pit to the Plate. Here at Bob Sykes, what I do every day is I'm constantly cooking. I'm shocked. First of all, I'm not disparaging anybody cooking barbecue. It's hard work, and I honor your work. But I see these people that like cook everything off in the morning and then they're like done for the day. We cook all day. I just feel like it needs to go from the pit to the plate. I could not think of a name for the book. I almost named it Stir It Till the Butter Melts, because my first job was to stand on a bar stool with a boat paddle and stir 40 quarts of barbecue sauce. And I was so hyperactive that Daddy couldn't keep me focused. So he put a pound of butter in the top, and he said, "You stand here and stir this until this butter melts." Well, now I have a goal, you know. So yeah. It was a unique timing device because the heat had to rise to the top enough to melt the butter. And he knew if I turned the heat up that the butter had melted too fast, and I was rushing the process. And so I almost named it Stir It Till the Butter Melts, but I think Pit to the Plate is probably more encompassing of really what the 65 years has been like.
I like it. And I'm thinking about the fact that everyone needs a Mr. Moby's.
Yes.
And here we have the Barbecue and Blues Festival, Bob Sykes Barbecue and Blues Festival, coming up on April the 30th. And you were sharing with me about caring men and caring women. Those are Mr. Moby's.
Yes.
Those are the people that are helping the young people to be able to have that opportunity, to open that door. And I'm making that connection as we speak, because this is a very important effort to help an effort. Mm-hmm. And as you take, as a business owner, and contribute back to the community, you are then growing this community in a positive way. And I like the idea of the Barbecue and Blues Festival hosted by Bob Sykes.
You know, and Mark, the word, the optimal word there is community. It took me a little while to understand that concept, because sometimes people, you think nowadays community is, well, is this a liberal word where, you know, we're all riding our own little bicycles to work and everything? And no, community is an old word. I'm a founding member of Southern Foodways Alliance. There's 50 of us that started that organization 30 years ago. I didn't appreciate what I did till I got in that organization. But the one thing I kept hearing was communities, communities. Barbecue, independent like that, it is a community, and it is part of the community. So I became upset several years ago that we couldn't get a positive headline in Bessemer. It was like, you know, if there was a tragic accident, somehow it would be on Bessemer Road, even though it was in Birmingham, Bessemer Road, and everything was just, we could have launched a spaceship and they wouldn't have covered it. We were known for that. Just, you know, it was like, it's like in the traffic report where you obligatory say, congested on 280. Well, then it was like crime and Bessemer. And
I remember.
And I was livid. I would literally call the stations, and I thought, we have to make our own positive headlines. They're not going to come down here and dig them out of the ground. I got an idea. I think we have Gip's Place that has music. We have, obviously, food. I want a charity aspect to this. I had a public relations person. All of a sudden, God just tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, you got everything in the world to do this. And the first year, I made a mistake. I did it in Tannehill, and it was a good event. It was well attended. It wasn't representative of my community. All of a sudden, I realized, where are my African-American customers? And they weren't there. And even though Tannehill's beautiful, it's a wonderful place, I realized, wait a minute, this is not reflecting what I wanted. I'm going back to Bessemer. And so the first year I planned it, I'll promise you, there were people that would tell me on the sly, on the down low, you know, ain't nobody gonna come down here on a Saturday. you know nobody. They don't come to Bessemer on a Saturday. I mean, what are you thinking? I actually got the business community together, and I had this idea of, look, they'll take their blues ticket, and they come to your store, and maybe you can give them 10% off. And so I set the date for the meeting, and one person showed up, and it was Nikki Koikas, one out of this whole community. No, they just told me, you can't do it. Well, we did it, and we broke even, which, as I've learned from other music promoters, is phenomenal. So the second year, okay, let's try this again. All right, third year, the weather got me. And so I thought, well, we'll come back next year. We'll come back next year. About year five or six, I realized we're kind of having a party. We need to have a business model and let the party be inside of a business model. So I had to take some people that had come along early and basically tell them, you can pay to come in the sponsor tent, or you can get a VIP ticket. And, you know, feelings were hurt because, well, man, I've been out here helping. And by the way, whoever translated volunteer into after the event, hey, you think I could get a gift card? I'm like, no, look up the word volunteer. So I had to rough it up a little bit to keep it going. I'm convinced that city stages and some of them things, they didn't convert to a business model. And then you get inside of these you create these nonprofits and you pay yourself a salary out of it. I don't want none of that, man. I don't want none of that. I said, we're going to run it as a separate LLC just for insurance and tax purposes. But outside of that, if I make a dollar or two over there, I'm giving it back out to the community. And Caring Men and Caring Women is an organization that mentors junior high and high school students. And they let them know that those grades you're making in the 9th, 10th, 11th grades, those are the grades that are going to follow you to your college and your next job. And you need to be focused and think about what you want to do, and it's local people talking with local kids. And you know what? I can't do enough for something like that. I want to see what I'm doing over here 30 feet from where we're sitting. I'd like to see that go on to another generation or two. But you know what? It's going away. I estimate now, and I read this, I'll bet you only 5 to 10% of barbecue now has been cooked over live hot coals. They've gone to smokers and pellet smokers and all this stuff, and the flavor is not the same. The taste is not the same. You're going to get out of a food product whatever you put into it. And if you set a bunch of knobs and go home and go to bed, you ain't going to have a whole lot when you get back the next day. We're in here at 5 o'clock making a natural fire. It's almost as if my daddy started that fire in 1957, and I've, through the grace of God and nothing else, I've been able to keep it burning for 65 years. And that festival, now that's something I did. My mother and daddy had, my mother thought I was out of my mind. You know, mom's motto was, mind the store. And what are you doing over there? I said, Mom, you wouldn't believe the publicity this is getting. I'm going on TV. And I said, if I don't make a nickel, I'm ahead. But as we've stumbled into, you know, sometimes, listen to this too, young folks. Sometimes, you know, you try too hard. And I think sometimes that God knows your heart and knows you're honest, and it's like, well, let me help them out with a good idea. I didn't know what I was getting into this festival. What we just ended up discovering is there are corporations that have budgets for festivals. Would you have thought Skippy Peanut Butter would have a guy that nationally just goes around all summer to festivals willing to pay X amount of dollars to sit there? Well, we just fell into that bucket. All of a sudden, we have sponsors that basically pay for the entire show. And I didn't know that was there. I can assure you, God just looked down and said, well, good Lord, let me see if I can give him a good idea here. I really believe that. And it's turned into something. It's on the map now. We're on all the calendar maps. One thing, you know, I know we're running maybe a little long, but one thing I wanted to say is every year what I've done, since I'm donating the profits, what I do is I upgrade the performers. This year we will have Mr. Bobby Rush, 3-time Grammy winner, was in a movie with Eddie Murphy last year. And the thing you have to understand about these blues musicians, Bobby's 80-something years old. We don't want that music to go away the same way I don't want that barbecue to go away. And if we don't love it and appreciate it, while the founders of it and the people that understand the roots of it, it'll go away. And it'll be gone, and you won't be able to resurrect it because we'll all be up in heaven, and it's gone. When I realized and made that connection with the blues and the blues artist, it really fired me up. This is should be my 13th, but of course the pandemic, so it's the 11th, 12th, it's the 12th time. So half of the people that performed in the first years are dead. T-Model Ford, wonderful performer. I'm looking at my harmonica player. I can't think of his name there. Incredible guy. But you know what? They invented this music. They were around. They listened to Muddy Waters. They listened to all that. They were the originators. This is, if there's anything that's just really America, it's blues music. And it's barbecue to me. Barbecue and blues is like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, it's artisan. It's something that was developed in this country. And make no mistake, barbecue is an African-American product. Let me just straighten everybody out on that. The way that they learned to cook pork is so unique. Because, man, there's been fire and pigs around for thousands of years. But the African-Americans in America at that time, their contribution to all this was the slow cooking and the introduction of lemon, lime, and vinegar and things to it as it's cooking. That's where that came from. No one had really done that, cooking pig over fire. That was their contribution. And just like I learned one time from Jimmy Coicus, that snapper throats, everybody loves those snapper throats over there. That's me and my mama, well, we could just eat them all day. But the reason you had snapper throats is the Greek fishermen, when they come back, they didn't get the fillet part of the snapper. They got the scraps. And one of the scraps was the throat. And they learned to take it and cook it and make something out of it. African Americans in the day, they didn't get the good part of the pig. They didn't get the ham. They didn't get the tenderloin. They got the front shoulder, the snoot, the feet, the tail.
The innards,
brains and eggs. I mean, but that's where that barbecue came from, was from that hard labor and the understanding of that meat. And I'm so proud to be able to sit here and tell you today that I think what I'm serving is as close to that flavor as you can get in this day and time, because our old friend the pig has changed quite a bit in 60 years. He's gone from 180 pounds to 360 pounds with no lard. So you've got a bigger, leaner animal. But I cook a picnic because of skin and bone, because I'm replicating the flavor that I remember when I was a child, that my daddy remembers when he was a child. So go back past that. Who taught Mr. Hampton how to cook? Who taught that guy how to do it? This has gone on for 100-something years, and we're just so proud to be able to serve what we feel like is a really authentic product, because we put a lot of work in it. But the festival is just a byproduct of that. It will be at DeBarta Laban Park in downtown Bessemer, which is like if you go up 17th Street, about 6th Avenue, you'll see the park is an entire block. We will take the whole block in, and we will have multiple exhibitors. We'll have a lot of door prizes, a lot of giveaways from the stage. We have our food tent. We have a kids' corner sponsored by the Army. Some walls to climb, and so we've learned a thing or two or three here in 10 or 12 years, and it's a fun atmosphere. And I think blues festivals should be outdoors. Now, you're rolling the dice with the weather, but you know what? I can't control the weather. I don't worry about it. We just pick a date and we go with it. But all the components are there. We've got high quality music, high quality sound. I use the best sound engineers that you can get. I try to do everything in a really first class way, from the performers all the way to the food. It's not a full Bob Sykes menu. It's obviously abbreviated menu out there. And then I have other food vendors, but I don't want too many vendors. I want every vendor to sell out. And you know what, Mark? At the end of every year, they sign up and give me a check for the next year.
Nice.
So, you know, that, you know, you're treating them right and treating them fair. And I'm expecting a big crowd this year. I would encourage everyone. The tickets can be bought here at the store for $20. You can buy them from Eventbrite online, or you can buy them the day of the show, but they're $25. So you're saving $5 if you buy ahead. I have never pre-sold this many tickets. I have never had this many sponsors. I think people are ready for something. I think they're ready to get out and have a little fun. And I just welcome anybody in the area. There again, it's April the 30th. Gates open at 11. Show starts at 12. The act before Bobby Rush, I had to hire him just a few months ago. Junior Kimbrough, he could be a headliner. He headlines many blues festivals. I think this guy's played at the Monterey Festival. I mean, I have some major performers. That's the surprise. I think people come out, they're like, that guy's incredible. We had Thelma Guitar Watkins 2 years ago. She was 83 years old, and she could play the guitar behind her head. I mean, it was just... You won't believe the level of musicianship. And Bessemer has a history of blues. From Gipps Place to Old Monroe Tavern, there's always been a history, and there's a lot of great musicians from the city of Bessemer. I mean, Diana Ross spent some of her childhood here. Eddie LaVert from the OJs. The Temptations. Eddie Kendrick. I mean, there's so many connections to Bessemer as far as the blues music and the barbecue. So, see, it was just meant to be put together, and I was fortunate enough to be the one to just rally it all together and have a great event and a great day. And I don't take political money. It's a political year. I could increase my revenue, but you know what? We want to take a day off. We're going to take a day, and we're going to enjoy food. We're going to enjoy music. We're going to set – I'm not the originator of this statement, but I love it. We're going to set a common table, and everybody's welcome to come put their feet under it. If there's anything we can come together on, it's music and food. And barbecue transcends race, class, gender. It's amazing sometimes in these little barbecue places, because a lot of people have my story. This is not unique to me. But a lot of these little barbecue places, the ratio of Porsches to pickup trucks is incredible. And it tells you you're covering the spectrum. I mean, you've got a guy and a laborer driving a pickup truck, and some guy that's got a lot of money and driving a Porsche, but they're all in here getting pig on their face. I just think that's a wonderful thing. There's not many foods that can just make a clean cut through our society and affect everybody that comes along. So we're blessed to do it. It's an honor. And I just, I would say this. I'd try to go ahead and get tickets. I could run out of room. I'm not trying to, we got to go get a ticket. But, I mean, I'm just telling you, I've sold a lot of tickets this year. So please come out and join our party and enjoy a day with the things that we all know and love.
Van Sykes, I hope this encourages people listening right now. As I think about down the street in Hueytown, they've recognized race car drivers. You've highlighted the blues here in Bessemer, and I appreciate your effort with the Barbecue and Blues Festival coming up, hosted by Bob Sykes. I thank you for having the opportunity to come in here to Bob Sykes to enjoy this conversation with you, too.
Well, look, I really appreciate it. I can't thank you enough, and to know you grew up on this food is very important to me. I need to be sure and thank my presenting sponsors, the City of Bessemer, Buffalo Rock, and Premier Chevrolet and Blocks, and a wonderful industry that's new to Bessemer here, very community-oriented company, Blocks, Premier Chevrolet, and the City of Bessemer. And I've got tons of others, Medical West, they all come on board. But I needed to take a moment to thank these sponsors. I could not do it if they didn't believe in what we were doing. And I just want to make sure that people understand, support the sponsors if you possibly can, because there again, let's just bring it back home. It's community, man.
And Van, I want to include dedicating this show to your mom and dad, Bob and Maxine, and Mr. Mobies.
Yes.
Because he was a catalyst in helping your parents. And so all three people made a difference. And this show is dedicated to Bob and Maxine Sykes, as well as Mr. Mobies. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to sit here with you today, Van, have you share some stories. It's an encouragement to me, my friend, as I think about my own battles in life and I think about how people need to be encouraged right now, maybe more than ever.
Right.
And we have young people out there who have dreams, who have things that they want to do, ambitions, and I want to encourage that as you are trying to encourage that through Caring Men and Caring Women and this effort that you're raising funds for them. So I'm going to get in touch with Greg at Fox 6. I want to try to get in touch with him, be able to connect with them about Caring Men and Caring Women, too, in their effort, and bring some more awareness to that.
I think that would be a wonderful thing, because what they're doing is vital. It's grassroots. It's men and women talking to young men and women and trying to be encouraging to them. Grassroots stuff like that, it works. It's always worked, and it still works. And the people that are providing those services are really wonderful, caring men and women.
Van Sykes, folks, we appreciate you joining us today. If this hasn't touched you in some way, I don't know what will. I hope that this shows an encouragement to you. If it is, please share it with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show. Here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers like Van Sykes and his parents, Bob and Maxine Sykes, and Mr. Mobies. I want you to continue this tradition of making a difference in a person's life. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram, and also subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show from Bob Sykes Barbecue in Bessemer, Alabama, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
I'm Elena Burt.
I'm Chandler Mordecai.
I'm Harper Howard.
And you're listening to The Mark White Show. Let's find a way to make a difference today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256 256- 952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
And gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.